Joining us on the line, we've got Benita Bigham. She's the co-chairperson of Te Maruata, the National Collective of Māori in Governance and Local Government. And we're going to be speaking about this this upcoming wheel, this wheel that's going on, essentially, you know, gathering the Māori that are in local government at the moment, you know, to have a discussion and all of that stuff. And what I really want to do is knuckle down on what some of the challenges ahead are for our Māori in local government, but also what some of their goals are too. Tēnā koe, Benita.
Oh, tēnā koe.
So let's just start off with, you know, I just want to get your whakaro on where what the state of Māori in local government looks like at the moment. Obviously, we've got this big influx of more Māori in local government because of, you know, measures to get them in there, whether it be Māori seats and, you know, people voting in the last election. You must be quite happy with that.
Oh, aye, we're really happy as Te Maruata. You know, it's been one of our dreams and aspirations for a long, long time to see more Māori in local government. And the implementation of Māori wards and the legislation that was introduced by Minister Mahuta has really accelerated the representation. So in this term at the last elections, we saw more than 50 new Māori ward councillors put in place across the Motu. So that was always been a long-term dream, and we worked really hard along with other partners in the community to see that happen, and the minister enabling that to happen, and the government enabling that to happen. So we're really pleased. We're thrilled with the new membership.
So talk to us about this hui as well and some of the topics you might be talking about.
Sure. So at the moment, we've just had day one of a hui for Te Maruata, which is, as mentioned, the National Collective of Māori in Governance Roles in Local Government. And that's community board members, councillors in all of our councils, iwi advisors in those capacities, iwi liaison committees, you know, those kinds of things. So Te Maruata covers all of those working in the governance role. So at a December hui of the collective, we had elections for our Rōpū Whakahaere, our steering group, and a group has been established based on the wishes of the collective, of the whānui, and we're having our very first hui a kanohi here in the Local Government New Zealand offices in Te Whanganui Ātara today and tomorrow. And we're looking at things like what we want to achieve this term, noting obviously our constraints around our resourcing and capability and capacity as busy people with other lives. But we're here as a collective and the Rōpū Whakahaere steering those visions forward for the future. So today and tomorrow, we're here in Pōneke doing that mahi.
As far as the challenges ahead for some of our Māori in local government, what do those look like? Of course, we've got things like three waters that have been pushing through that are quite controversial at a local level. Is that something that you're worried about in particular?
We've always been proponents of the Three Waters program because we see the benefits that can bring for our rural Māori communities, especially those that haven't been well serviced by councils in the past. And also those communities who have water infrastructure issues. So we know that our whānau Māori, wherever they live around the Motu, you know, everyone deserves that good water, that safe water to drink. So, you know, the co-governance issues that people are saying are detrimental to our country. Te Maruata is really keen on making sure that those provisions are kept strongly within the Three Waters program and can be extended across all areas as possible. You know, and there's that old saying that's been around for decades now, is what's good for Māori is good for Aotearoa, and we're firm believers in that. The other issues that we know are really prevalent for our people are things like emergency response, and we've seen iwi and hapu and marae stepping up strongly in these areas as these tragedies happen around the Motu and these episodes happen around the Motu, that it's our people stepping into those spaces. The COVID response, it was our people that stepped up into those spaces and got things cranking for our people. So we really want to support our whānau as they deal with the council bureaucracy sometimes around that to not only understand but to influence how we can respond in those sorts of situations. Climate change, you know, there's a whole lot going on across the Motu that we want to be able to help influence, to be able to help give advice for, to help direct councils to the right people out in our communities, our iwi and our hapū and our whānau who can give the right advice to make sure that robust decisions are made with clear and concise information.
Given the big hullabaloo, I suppose, around co-governance at the moment, do you think that there's an appetite for more Māori, in local government? You know, we've got this big backlash against co-governance going on at the moment. There's also a roadshow, an anti-co-governance roadshow that's set to, you know, tour all around the country. Do you think that there's a desire from voters and from people, you know, and from local constituents to see more Māori in power?
Oh, I think we just have to look at the results of the last term and the implementation of Māori wards into more than 30 councils across the motu. So there are about 67 councils around Aotearoa, and now we went from, just in this last term, we went from having 3 councils with Māori wards to having 30-plus councils with Māori wards. So I think that's indicative that society is changing, that attitudes are changing, that people are understanding the wider and bigger issues, and they're not seeing co-governance or Māori in these governance roles as a threat to their own power base, but people are starting to see the benefits that having those wider conversations and those wider perspectives at the table can bring. I think some of the kōrero that's out there at the moment is just politicking and scaremongering, considering we're coming up to a general election. And I'm hoping, and I have some confidence that based on this changing attitude that I've seen within the local government world, that will, you know, hopefully spill over into central government as well. So I think that, you know, there's a lot of race baiting and scaremongering and things like that going on. But I think those voices that are the noisiest are a minority, and that they're just looking for people to scare into thinking the same way as they are, as opposed to what I hope, what I really fervently hope, are a vast majority who can see through the rubbish and understand the potential benefits of co-governance as opposed to seeing it as a threat.
And just before I let you go too, I don't expect you to be too knowledgeable on this because it's the word's just been let out, but Auckland Council has actually voted to leave LG NZ Local Government New Zealand. Could I get perhaps just an initial reaction from you on that decision?
We're really sad as Te Maruata that has happened, because we've had some wonderful representation, especially from Councillor Al Filipina, who has been a part of the Te Maruata Rōpū Whakahaere for a long time now, and great support and advice and really robust kōrero from Alf in the space. And it's always been about helping Māori and our Pacifica whānau as well navigate the local government space. And so Alf, as an Auckland councillor, has been wonderful. And we see his response to his community in crisis. You know, we see the things that he does. And Te Maruata knows that ultimately Auckland Council's decision to leave the LGNZ family, while there may be a cost saving in terms of fees for LGNZ to be a part of the LGNZ collective, that ultimately the cost will be borne by our families who are out in the community, who either own their homes or rent their homes, because rents will be covering the costs that Auckland will now have to impose back on their communities. Because the decision to leave means that they now can't access subsidised schemes that the rest of the councils who belong to LGNZ does. For example, being a part of an LGNZ scheme around something as simple as street lighting, and the dimming of street lighting saves Auckland Council $1.1 million a year, whereas being part of LGNZ is only $400,000 a year. So, you know, the cost-benefit analysis, I think, was it's a shame that wasn't better fully understood with Auckland's decision to leave. So personally, I think Auckland's decision to leave was a short-sighted response to a very long-sighted issue.
Well, tēnā koe, Benita. Thank you so very much for joining us this evening. Have a wonderful rest of your night.
Kia ora ranga, mihi nui.
Tēnā koe.